Welcome. This is week 10 of Working with the Law with transformational life coach, Christy Corradi.
Hello and welcome. Today we're going to be talking about the law of sacrifice. But first, let's start by tuning in with our gratitudes and our proud of. Just kind of cast this like a net, this vibration. Can you feel that energy spread out across everywhere, and knowing that when we do that, that's what we can do to be a change agent, is to hold that vibration and to spread it over everything. Today we are jumping into the law of sacrifice. When I first heard this concept, the law of sacrifice, and then I started reading it and it had to do with discipline, it ruffled my feathers. If I was a cat, my hair would be standing up on my back. Really, how could this possibly be a law that serves us? How could this be part of the universal principle? And I actually set out many years ago, and I had this affirmation that I wanted to evolve without discord. And that was my mantra. I'm going to evolve without discord, that I really believed that the nature of the universe, that I could somehow find a way to evolve without chaos. And I think I've shared this with you. A friend of mine that I went to undergraduate school with, he was a German exchange student, and he was in the physics department, he and his wife, and I was good friends with them. And he ended up going back and becoming a professor at Hamburg University and has his students and everything. And he decides that he wants to take a mathematics class. And the law of mathematics and the law of physics, at a certain point, they go divergent. They don't match up. And of course, we know that can't be true. But just in the way that they have figured out physics and the way they have figured out mathematics, and I understand this happens all across the sciences, that there's a place they have to diverge because their laws don't match up. And of course, I don't believe that's true. But that's the way that they work, right? So he decided, as a fun thing to do, to take a higher mathematics class. Now, that doesn't sound like any fun to me, but it was fun for him. And so he said one night he spent the night correcting papers for his physics students, and then he went to his mathematics to do his mathematics homework for the math class he was taking. And it was late at night. He said it was after midnight. He was doing his homework, but his mind kept going back to physics, the laws of physics, and he kept jumping back and forth, and no, I've got to come back to mathematics. And somehow he figured out a formula that was the pattern to chaos. And what that pattern was is very complicated, and he couldn't really explain it to me, other than far enough out in the distance from everything, and my image of this is out far enough out in the universe to look back at these laws and see where they come back together, that here they diverge and here they don't go together. But up here, further out in the universe, from a greater perspective, they come together. And that chaos is a natural part of the universe, that it is its nature, it's natural. And so when I had made that decision to evolve without chaos or conflict, I think it was a really slow growth period for me. And the law of sacrifice is really an important law because it's about the idea that we must let go of the lesser to allow the greater. We must let go of the lower to let in the greater. Now, if we check in with what we normally think of sacrifice and obedience at a vibrational level, think about what that feels like. Think about that exact vibrational tone of sacrifice and obedience. Now, we were taught to be obedient to the teachers and taught to be obedient to our parents, taught to be obedient to the big bully at school or whatever. You know, we were taught that to sacrifice something, it was a lose-lose situation, that we had to give up something that we loved, or So we have these connotations of these words or these vibrations, and hopefully by now you really have a different understanding of these laws. So learning and understanding the law of sacrifice was a deep growing. It was part of my growing edge of learning that I could not have it all. This is not work or a practice of having it all. I could not be unhappy and have joy and bliss in my life. What I learned through the law of sacrifice, that I did indeed have to let go of the lesser to allow the greater. And this morning was an interesting little conversation that I had with my friend Ron, who's the president of the execs group, and the meeting's at 7:15. And one of the things that I just love about the life that I have created is that I don't have to get up early in the morning. I'm not a morning person in general. That's my belief system. Okay. And getting up for the 7:15 meeting in the morning, it's like it takes me, I have to prepare the night before. I have to think about what I'm going to wear, set the alarm, figure out how I'm going to get up. You know, it's huge for me to get up at that time in the morning and then go and be around people. So I saw Ron this morning and I said something about, yeah, I was in the wonderful deep sleep. And I was this morning at 6:20 when the alarm went off, and I was in this wonderful deep sleep. And I was just feeling that feeling of being in that deep sleep. And then I said, yeah, and then it was kind of hard to get up, and then, you know, and then I'm here, you know. And he said, oh, well, I got up at 5:30 or something, and then I sat and I did a little writing, and then I did my meditation. And I thought, wow, because my habit has been after the meeting, I go home and I do my meditation and my daily practice. And I thought, wow, he does that beforehand. And then I thought, you know, there was a little self-judgment towards myself. And then I thought, well, you know, he's an early riser and his job requires that he gets up early and he takes his granddaughter to carpool and things, you know, and that's the life. And that is the habit that he has established. So I gave myself a little bit of an edge there. And I said, okay, so that is not my habit. If my habit was to get up every morning at 6 o'clock and then do my meditation, but because I'm in the habit of getting up at 7 and having a cup of tea brought to me, and then when my tea's done, my coffee, and I actually start doing my morning practice during that time, but I actually wait until Jerry and Aaron leave the house at around 8 o'clock to really do my meditation practice, because otherwise, you know, there's a lot of hubbub and activity going on. And so that is the wonderful life that I've created. And then I was talking with somebody else and she says, yeah, I get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to go for a run. And I just went, oh, my body, I could feel it in my body. And I could feel that, wow, you know, that would be really tough on me. And then I thought, you know, if that was an intention that I had enough passion around and that it was time for me to move in that direction, to get up at 5 o'clock to do my exercise, or if it was time for me to get up at 6 o'clock and do my meditations before I go to this meeting or on a daily basis, then I would have to let go of something. And one of the things that I would have to let go of is the belief that I'm not a morning person. Okay. And any of us can take any of our beliefs and we can take a look at it and see, is there something in that that we would like to change? Now, do you want to know the truth? I love my life. I love the way it works. Now, do I want to get more exercise in? Yes. Do I want to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning to do that? Probably not. Right now, I'm working at adding 2 more days of exercise to my exercise program. But now, in looking at that whole scenario, I can say, what is the lesser that I'm willing to give up? And in order for us to create what we want to create, we must let go of the lesser in order to allow in the greater. And this is natural. And the only time that it becomes what we would call discord is when we call it that, when we name it that. It's what we name it that makes it even a boogeyman. Because in nature, nature knows no failure. Now, if nature is part of the divine, if nature is a part of the great network of the quantum field of all of this, just like I was saying with the laws, that it all must work in some kind of great harmony. If we get out far enough and look back on it, we can see. So this has become a practice for me in this work is when I hit discord, when I hit discontent, if I look back far enough, I just see that it just is. So the ground is even, and all of a sudden there's a rupture in the ground, and that's what it feels like, a rupture in the ground. And then next thing we know, a bulb is pushing up, the plant is pushing up to that. And so I have taken the stance of, and not always the practice, it's, you know, and staying in this work is part of what allows that to be true. It allows me to do that, is to see that however the ground is rupturing, somehow something greater is pushing through that. That this is the natural universe. This is nature. Nature is always a benevolent universe. Is it a benevolent universe? Is this universe for us? And really, to be in this work, that's one of the key elements, is that there must be a belief that this universe is good, this universe is for us. So the practice is to change the old habits and form them into new habits. And the way that we do that is we identify the paradigms. Now, that's a starting point, but we don't have to continue to do it that way. Once we get the hang of it, we don't need to actually go digging up our old paradigm. We can simply go, the boogeyman is out there. Okay, great. What do I want to do? What do I choose to do here? And that's why I love working with our own personal guidance system, that once we plug in our vision, any vision that is forward moving. It doesn't have to be the end all vision. It could be a goal, something that moves us in the direction of our greater becoming. And we have that programmed in. Then when discord comes up, and this is why we use discontent actually to look and see what is our longing, is because it's a great guidance system that says, is that moving me in the direction of my dream or my vision? No, it's not. Okay, we don't have to go and find out what's keeping me from it. We can say, just like our GPS system says, it says, here's the course to get back onto track. Okay, and with the law of sacrifice, we can ask ourselves, and this is the unraveling piece, and this is why I love this work, is we can say, what is it that I need to let go of to become more of what I want to become? And, you know, it was Matt actually on a phone call with me one time, and I was posing a question or something, and I wish I could remember the exact conversation, but he says, this is the law of sacrifice, Christy. What are you willing to let go of to allow the greater becoming? And what I want to do today with us is I want to actually go a little deeper into looking at the concept of struggle. You know, we can pretty much pinpoint struggle as being one of our limiting behaviors. So we can look at whatever we are struggling in, where is your greatest struggle? And then we can put in our vision statement and we can say, okay, if I want to move in that direction, what part of struggle must I let go of in order to continue to get back onto track to moving towards my vision? So I want to check in with you guys and see where you're at with your vision. And do you have a short version of your vision? Are you using your vision on a daily basis? What's going on right now with your vision? We need to have that in place in order to really take a look at this law of sacrifice. Believe me, I'm right in the process of this work myself. I have my long version, then I go to the short version, then I go to the six-month version, then I go back to the long version, and I'm working on honing this in to be what is the most simple form for me to use in the morning that I don't get into my left brain trying to figure it out. Okay, and that's what I would like us to do, is to have that version and then take other time, not during your daily practice, but take other time or at the end of your daily practice, because at the end of my daily practice is my to-dos, and that's a great place to take a look at it. But the beginning is of the meditation is the to-be's. So how can you be that? And that's really more of a creative right brain type of function. And I think an important piece here, one of the things that we might have to sacrifice here is trying to figure it out and have something so well honed that I am the woman who is. And two simple statements or four simple sentences that we can really move into the vibrational frequency of that. Let's envision on your phone or whatever that you have a GPS system. And you put in there your vision. Okay, that's in the future. And your current location is at one point, and your destination is out there in the future. Struggle gets you off of course. What part of struggle can you sacrifice or let go of? So you cannot have anger and be happy. Think about a relationship. You cannot be experiencing the joy and bliss of your relationship if you're pissed off. I used to have these dreams sometimes that Jerry would do something really horrible. And I'd wake up and it was like I couldn't shake the feeling. I know it was a dream and I know he didn't do that. He's not that kind of person. But I just couldn't shake that feeling, right? So you can't have that feeling and experience the joy and bliss. Now, where can you experience that? Just like with the chaos, when you go far enough out and look back at the whole big picture, right? And you go, wow, he puts up with me, you know, or whatever it is, you know, that allows you to do this. But in, so this is what we want to take a look at is what is it that we need to let go of around struggle that will allow us, we don't need to know the whole path. We only need to know what gets us back on track. So what is the replacement thought? Looking at your vision, what is the thought that's going to get you back on track moving in the direction of your vision? Let's say that it's 3 years from now, 5 years from now, and you look back to yourself 5 years ago and you say, you know what? You want to know the truth of what it was like? Mm-hmm. What would you want to be saying? It was so easy. The doors opened for me. Mm-hmm. The right opportunities came along. As long as I stayed focused on my vision, if I didn't focus on the struggle and the belief, as long as I stayed focused on my vision, all that I needed was available to me at all times. You know, when I started listening to it again and studying it again, which I love being in this work because of the continual study, as I teach it, of course, I relearn it and learn it at a deeper level. And I went, wait a minute, why do I like the law of sacrifice? I really have to take a look at some of the things that I am choosing to let go if I want to move to the next level. So the law of sacrifice is the idea that you must pay for everything in life. Absolutely. And what you pay for something that you really love or desire is you sacrifice something for that. So, for example, if you want to have a beautiful wedding, you sacrifice time and money to create this wonderful wedding. So the example of the baseball, sacrificing the player at first base in order to allow someone to come into home plate. And I questioned myself. I'm like, wait a minute. I love my life the way it is. And this is one of the things that we really explored. It's like, yes, we have a good life. And we are in that ever-expanding universe. It is our nature. And if we settle for good enough, we are not bringing to the table all the gifts that we have been given to bring into the world, to create this world as a better place through us and as us. And so good enough is settling. So we want to explore and see what is the next thing that I'm ready to become. You may not have the exact goal in mind, but you learn the tools through whatever goal you have or vision or dream that you have. And that, I'm going to say this and then come back to that, and that it's not the thing you want, it's the growth that you experience in the process. But those things, those markers, those things that we set out there, they are the things that keep us moving in that direction. And there's always an offer made at these trainings to move to the next level, to stay in this work at a deeper level, or a lot of people come into it and this is their first time. And it feels like a sales job to people that are new into this. But really the underlying principle of this and what I'm experiencing in this is it's setting the bar higher. And in setting the bar higher, that causes me to strengthen myself in the areas that I need to reach that next goal. And so it isn't the goal that I really want. It's the growth. It's the strength. It's the becoming. And in studying these laws, of these universal laws, this allows us to see more clearly, to understand the invisible. And then how to make the visible come into reality. It isn't that we want the thing to come into reality. It's that we want to understand this amazing universe that we live in. What I know is that once you discover these tools, you don't unknow them. You may need to practice them and remember them, but it gives you a greater ability to use Google, for example. And so to jump into understanding these laws, and what do we have to give up? What do we have to sacrifice in order to understand these laws? Well, our time and our thinking, the way that our thoughts are, we need to stand at the portal of our mind and to really think about what our thoughts are. And we need to sacrifice those degrading thoughts that we have. I'm just thinking right now about our self-esteem and our self-deserving, and that we allow ourselves to slip back into historical thoughts and beliefs that, yes, they were programmed into us, but they're not true. And so we need to stand and pay attention to the fact that we're having these thoughts, and then we don't even need to know what the thoughts are. I think you guys are old enough to remember cassette tapes or recording. I mean, you could even think of it as recordable CDs or DVDs, that you don't need to know what's on that CD. You can record right over it the new thinking, the new thought. So we don't need to go digging up our past. And sometimes we do, and sometimes it's helpful, as long as we don't pitch a tent there and hang out in that area. And I think that the reason that we go back and explore those past histories and see how we can change them is simply, and now I need to get back to this other thought about building our strength, is that we go back and explore those thoughts so that we can just see how replacing our thought works. And then once we get that skill down, we don't need to go back and dig up our history anymore. We just reprogram and record right over that old belief without even knowing what's there and input the new way we want to live life. And it's like building, and this is the whole reason why we set a vision, and it doesn't even matter if the vision is the quote-unquote end result or the vision that's actually going to take place in 3 years or whatever. What it is to set a vision is to put something, just like our GPS, put something in our GPS, or let's say blueprinting plans for a house. And you may not know how to build a house. If you actually want to build a house, you start by learning how to build, in a shop class, it was always build a toolbox, right? So you learn how to build a toolbox first. And then from there, so you say, oh, I want to be a builder or I want to build a house. You start by building a toolbox. And you may change the design of the house as you go along. And part of it you'll change because you've learned the skills involved in building a house and the availability you have of what you can create. And it's the same with art. Miranda and I took a watercolor class together. And at first, it feels like the water runs all over the place. But you walk in, and a teacher teaches you the tools, and then you're able to begin to command what you want to put on the paper. And it's the same thing with learning these principles. What's interesting, they also call this law the law of discipline. What is discipline? Discipline is about making a decision and sticking with that decision. I mean, how many times do we decide for something and then we don't keep up with it? We don't follow through. We let something else take over. And sometimes you will replace a decision that you made with another decision, but it will be out of empowerment and never out of fear or lack and limitation if it's a true vision. It will always come out of our five questions. Does it give me life? Does it match my core values? Does it cause me to grow? Do I need a higher power? Is there good in it for others? So, you know, you can change your direction, but you want to, number one, do it slowly, just like when you're driving along, you don't go, oh, I meant to turn left there, and you turn left there and you get in an accident because you haven't looked at what's in the way of making that turn. You make that turn with choice and deliberateness, and you learn what you need to sacrifice. Does it mean slowing down and taking a look? What are you willing to sacrifice to allow the greater? And great things don't just happen. And I call this the dangling carrot. We start people in this work by saying, and it's also called princes, parking spaces, and palaces, that at the beginning of moving into this work, you begin to realize and understand the power of understanding this work. And you start moving into this work, and all of a sudden you see through the power of your thought that you can manifest a parking space. You can manifest your perfect place to live. You can manifest your perfect partner. And then this is almost like the dangling carrot that gets you into the work. And then you find out that things don't just happen. You have to put dedication into making them happen. So as you get into a deeper level of this work, it becomes a greater discipline. And what's the discipline? Managing our thought. So what thoughts do we need to let go of? The lesser thoughts that we need to let go of, the lesser habits, the lesser believings that we must let go of in order to experience the greater.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Here are two exclusive podcast listener offers. First, for a limited time, podcast listeners can work with Christy in person at a deep discount. Christy offers a unique coaching modality of her own creation that helps clients discover their own answers to where they're stuck and how to move forward. As one of her clients puts it, it always works. This transformative process is designed to help you identify blocks and create breakthroughs in your personal and professional life. As a thank you for listening to the podcast, you're eligible for a special discount. Normally $97 for a half-hour introductory session, podcast listeners get a $70 discount automatically applied if you use this link, masteringtheartoflife.com/podcast-IWD-offer. That's masteringtheartoflife.com/podcast-IWD-offer. And that link is in the podcast general description as well. Second, you can get the entire library of Mastering the Art of Life with PDF notes and worksheets for each lesson, plus bonuses at no cost at masteringtheartoflife.com/9-month opt-in, all one word, masteringtheartoflife.com/9-month opt-in. That link is also in the general podcast description.